Let's turn in our Bibles to the book of Genesis chapter 12. Genesis chapter 12. We've gone through part of Genesis this year. You can't finish Genesis, even though Genesis means the beginnings. It's hard to finish the book. Amen. But there's very wonderful characters in the book of Genesis that we can learn spiritual lessons from. Abraham is one of those, and so that's what we're going to deal with this morning. I'm talking about the call of faith. We're all called to believe. The Bible says in the book of Hebrews, without faith it's impossible to please him, for he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he rewards those who diligently seek him. And so Abraham was a man that diligently sought God. He was a man that walked by faith. Amen. So we'll talk about the call of faith today. Genesis chapter 12, verse 1. Now the Lord had said to Abram, get out of your country, from your family, from your father's house, to a land that I will show you. I will make you a great nation. I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. And I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse him who curses you. And in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed. Father, I thank you, Lord, for your presence, Lord, that's undeniable this day, as we've requested and asked for. You're so wonderful, God, to bless us with your presence. Thank you for your word today. I pray that you'd help us to gain instruction and righteousness out of it, Lord. Help us to receive truth from your word today, God. Talk to our hearts through the scriptures, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. The call of faith. Throughout scriptures, both Old Testament and New, the idea of justification by faith is there. It's very much stronger in the New Testament because Christ in the New Testament is the one that we have faith in, and we trust Christ, his work on the cross, his resurrection from the dead. We base our faith completely upon that. But also in the Old Testament, they had to believe God as well. Abraham believed God, and it was accounted unto him for righteousness. Amen. So we know that faith happened both Old and New Testament. Praise God. The call of faith. We're called to live this gospel, not just profess the gospel. Amen. A person may believe in Jesus, may even believe that Jesus died and rose again from the dead, but not be saved. You know, the devil believes in God. But God chooses for us not just to believe in his existence, but to believe to the sense that we're willing to follow him with all of our heart. And when you give your heart to Jesus, you give your life to Jesus, you know, past, present, future. And God forgives our sins, cleanses us from all unrighteousness, and makes us acceptable to him. And it's all a work of his grace. And God not only chose us to believe and profess the gospel, God called us to live the gospel. And God chooses you and I as vessels to carry the good news to the world. He chose us. He chose me. We don't have to answer the question why. God knows what he's doing. He chose us. He chose the church to live and to carry the news or the answer to life and eternity to people, all the peoples of the world. Amen. And we aren't just saved to have life insurance. Amen. Not just for that. We're saved to promote life. And the life of God should be in the church. Amen. In our worship services, in our prayers, in the preaching, in the altars. Amen. The word of God or the life of God should be here. Praise the Lord. And so we are called to promote life. Amen. To proclaim life, to extend the message of life to a dying world. And God has chosen us. God chose Abraham here. God, not only that, God chose Abraham, but God chose you and I. It says in the book of 1 Peter, New Testament, chapter 2, verse 9, you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a special people of his own, that you should proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. So God has called us as the people, as his people, to be people of faith, and God has called us not only to profess his name, but to live the gospel. Amen. To live the good news. Praise the Lord. Salvation is a call to follow God, to be committed to Christ, regardless of the cost. And many people, their level, their commitment to serve God is, God, I will serve you, I'll give my life to you if you'll do this or if you'll do that. God, I'll do all these things if. God never called us to live for Him if He does certain things. I want to tell you, He's done more than anybody could ever do. He provided a Savior for us. He provided forgiveness of sins. He provided eternal life. He gave us all things, amen, and all things that pertain unto life and godliness. God can do no more than He's done. He gave His only begotten Son. He gave eternity's best because He loved you and I personally. Hallelujah. And so, salvation is a call to follow God, to be committed to Christ, regardless of the cost. As a matter of fact, Jesus made it so strong, said, if you love father or mother more than me, you're not worthy of me. He wasn't saying, don't love your father and your mother. In many places He tells us to. But He says, it cannot compete with your love for me. Nothing must compete with our love for God. We must love God first. Salvation is not just a confession of Christ, but a commitment to Christ. Abraham's decision was one of complete change of places, and complete changes of people, complete changes of atmosphere. Well, I guess it's the same atmosphere. But it was a call to go to Canaan's land and live among a people he knew nothing about, and to leave a people he knew a lot about. But it was the call of God. Let's notice it here, chapter 12, verse 1. God said to Abraham, get out of your country, oh my, from your family and from your father's house to a land that I will show you. Now that was a difficult call for many people. But Father, you're asking me to leave my people. You're asking me to leave father and mother. You're asking me to leave the clan that I've produced here. I don't think God is clannish. Anyway. It was a call to leave involves leaving the place of comfort. Because Abraham, he was a prosperous man. He wasn't a poor man. He was a rich man. But he loved God. He served God. He lived for God. He walked with God. But he lived in a land of plenty. The land of Haran or the Chaldees here. It was a place where there was plenty. Family was provided for. He has a land of plenty. He had enough. Amen. And enough to go around a second time. Amen. At lunch, they went back for seconds. Ur of the Chaldees was a prosperous city, and excavations have yielded great jewelry of that time and art treasures of unbelievable beauty, and particularly gorgeous head attire is what excavations have found. You know, everybody's wanting their head to look better, I guess. And God called Abraham to leave a place where he lacked nothing and to a place where you would have to depend on God for everything. Ur of the Chaldees was not a good country in many ways. It was a prosperous country, but it was a land of many gods. Here the Chaldeans worshiped the moon god and many other gods. It was a country of polytheism, worship of many gods. And today our country has become a land of idolatry. The country that we live in, I'm talking about 2018. People today worship money, they worship famous people, they worship animals. They do. But all are temporary and have and offer no lasting hope. And peoples of other nations have gathered into our country, thank God for it. But yet, in the U.S., they have brought their gods with them many times. That is quite evident in our culture, that people come to this country, they don't believe in the same. They don't believe in the God of the Bible. Many of them don't. And the greatest mission field in the world has become the United States of America, because we are surrounded by many peoples of many nations, languages, tribes, and tongues, amen, and places where there are set aside certain parts of certain communities are dedicated to that culture of people, that type of people. And so we have a mission field right here at home. Amen. Thank God. Yes, we're to send the gospel to all over the world. We're to send missionaries to every country on this planet. And my prayer is that every man, woman, boy, and girl, anybody that has an eternal soul would receive an adequate message, understandable message of the gospel. That's what we want. But we live in a world that serves many gods. But God indeed has came to reveal to the people of Canaan through Abraham that there is only one true God. Deuteronomy 6:4, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one." First commandment, "Thou shalt have no other gods before me." Second commandment, "Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image," carved image. Amen. So we know that God wanted to reveal himself as one true God, and that's all there really is. And so he would use Abraham to go to the land of Canaan to do this. As well, God would use Israel as a means of judgment upon the idolatrous people of that age that needed judgment. And God decides when judgment is needed. And he did. And he used Israel to clean out the land. That's the reason he said, "Go in there." I said, "I want you to clean everything that's in there out." Amen. And so God called Abraham for this purpose, the call of faith. But you know, God has placed us here as a light of truth to a revelation of truth to all. God has placed you in the place that you're in. You say, "Well, I don't think God placed me here." But he might have without you knowing it. And you may work around people who do not talk the way that you do. And they may not believe in God the way that you do. As a matter of fact, they may take God's name and use it as a curse word or a cuss word. I still preach that that's sin. You know, the Bible does say, "You shall not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain." I remember when I was in the fifth grade, just at that time when kids started thinking it was smart to cuss. Now they think it's smart at 2 years old. But anyway, and that's because of the parents most of the time. But I remember a kid on the playground who used God's name in vain. And I was coming to Pentecostal church. You didn't do that in our home. You didn't do it anywhere as far as I was concerned. I turned around and said, "If you don't repent of what you just said, you're going to spend eternity in a red hot hell." Amen. That's some of my first preaching. He just went on. But God has placed us in society to be a light of truth to people. And many times you work among peoples, and we're in the world but not of the world. But God has placed you there to be a light. You may not preach all the time, but your life testifies to what you are. And God has placed us among peoples, places, and things, and ways of life that we're not interested in many times. And we work with people. Thank God for people. Thank God for jobs. But, you know, pray for your employer and pray for his employees. And pray for yourself. But, you know, God may place us among peoples and things that we're not comfortable with. He may cause you to work among people. You don't like the way they talk. And I don't take any... And it offends me when people use God's name in vain. It offends me when they talk about other things and things that are ungodly and unholy, when I've been taught from a kid or from the Bible that it's their sin and God's offended by them. But yet God chooses to help us to come into this world and to be a light and a testimony. And God called Abraham and said, "I want you to leave this country. I want you to go to a place they don't know you. They don't know your God. They may not have any respect for you, but I want you to go there anyway." And I can hear Abraham, this is not Bible, this is just me. He might have argued with us and said, "God, I'm not comfortable with that. The house that I'm in, I believe in you, God. You're the only God there is. But I don't want to go to them people of Canaan. You know, they're different than me. I've never been there. I don't know what they..." He might have argued with God something similar to that. I don't know. That's just speculation. But God still called him, and that's not speculation. God did call him. He said, "I want to get away from your father's house and your family." He said, "God, but I love my family." God said, "I've got a way of giving you more family." And so he went out. And so it was a call not only a call of God, but it was a call to a life of faith. The book of Hebrews, chapter 11. In verse 8 it says, "By faith Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to a place which he would afterward receive as an inheritance." How would you like to do this, the last part of that verse? "And he went out not knowing where he was going." I've met a few people that didn't seem like they knew where they was going. There's been times when I didn't know where I was going, so I had to read a map. However, God called Abraham to a life of faith. You've got to believe in me, Abraham. You've got to walk with me. You've got to believe what I say. You can't believe everything that everybody says. You can't believe everything everybody says about you. But you can believe what God says, because God's word is the truth. And we should believe that. But it involved what he was used to, what he was comfortable with. It involved Abraham leaving people, places, and things, the way of life he was comfortable with. And so God said to Abraham, I want you to get out of your comfort zone. I got a place to take you. I want to show you something. And God may require you and I to do business in places you're not comfortable with. He may allow you to work around people you're not comfortable with being around. But God said to Abraham, he said, I want you to go to a land that I will show you. Amen. And there must be a certainty that God is the one doing the calling. This faith requires obedience. Faith without works is dead. And Abraham couldn't immediately see all of God's plan. And you and I are blessed that we cannot see what are all is down the road. And I'll tell you, we are blessed, because if we'd have known what we was going to go through before, we wouldn't have wanted to go this way. You know, look at what you've been through in life. You wouldn't want to go there if God told you ahead of time. Amen. Anyway, I'll pause on that, lest I offend somebody. But God doesn't let us know everything, just what we need at the time. And Abraham said, God said, I'm going to be with you. I will help you. And God may call us to unfamiliar places, may not know the people or understand their ways, their interests. However, we can learn and make conversation with people. Let's say, well, I don't know how to talk to people. I've been told at church all the time, you know, by the preacher and other people, that I need to witness and testify to people. And so I just don't know how to make conversation with people. Let me tell you something. Years ago, many years ago, I read a book by Dale Carnegie, How to Win Friends and Influence People. And by way of the grapevine, I heard there was a sequel to that called How to Win Back the Ones You Influenced. No. But you can ask people, you can get conversation started with people, ask them about their job. What do you do for a living? Man, do you have any children? They'll talk to you usually about your children. And if they're my age and a little older, ask them about their grandchildren. You might be sorry you did, because I never start talking about them. But somewhere or another in the line of talking, we can come up, you know, with the conversation about God. Where do you, you know, where do you go to church? Do you believe Jesus? Do you believe in God? Amen. And so God opens the door for us, and God would open the door for Abraham in many places where he could reveal the one true God to a land of Canaan, where they had many gods that they served and didn't know anything about the one true God, the Creator. Years ago, Andre Crouch wrote a song that says simply, Jesus is the answer. He's dead and going on to the Lord, be with the Lord now, but he wrote many wonderful songs, and one of them, Jesus is the answer for the world today. Above him there is no other. Jesus is the way. Amen. I want to tell you something, friend. Jesus not only was the answer for Mr. Andre Crouch, but he's the answer for you today. He's the answer to everything. Praise God. I want to tell you, wherever you are today, God is the answer. Jesus is the answer. He's not one of many answers. He is the answer and the only answer that you need. Amen. He was the answer for three Hebrew children when they were in the fiery furnace. He was the answer for Daniel when he was in the lion's den. Amen. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. You can't go wrong by believing and putting your faith in the Son of God, Christ Jesus the Lord. And wherever you are, Jesus is the answer. So Abraham was called to a life of faith. We're called to make a journey to heaven. You know, Abraham could not see what was all was in Canaan's land. If he saw it all, he probably wouldn't want to go. Even worse. You and I don't think there will be one person here that's not completely in awe of the heaven that God has prepared for us. And God's called us to go there. And you know, many people say, I wish I could just skip all this and be there. Yeah. But God's called us to walk a life of faith before we get there. He's promised heaven for us, and thank God for it. I cannot see with my eyes a literal heaven. You may not be able to see eternal life. You may not be able to see a heavenly city. But we live the Christian life because we believe, and not because just because we believe, but God has planted faith and certainty and assurance in our heart that there is a better land. There is a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. There's a place that God has prepared for us. Amen. He's given us a place there in His eternity, and we can believe that and stand upon His word. Hallelujah. Hebrews 11:13 says, we have no here in this life, no continuing city, but we seek one to come. And Abraham, he looked for a city which had foundations, whose builder and maker is God. I believe that he was searching for something more than this life had to offer. And I believe he's reached there today. But God has a place for that. You don't mind if I preach on heaven a little bit, will you? I've said enough about hell, so I don't know if I have or not. Anyway. Revelation 21. God gave John the Revelator a glimpse of what heaven would be like. Wonderful. You hear this at every funeral, but y'all are not dead, so I'm not preaching a funeral. I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away. Also, there was no more sea. I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men. He will dwell with them, and they shall be His people, and God Himself will be with them and be their God. God is preparing this place for you and I, a place where there is not the slightest suggestion of sin or evil, a place where there is no gossip, amen. There's no used gossip. There's no new gossip. There's not any gossip. Amen. It's a place, one fellow said, you won't find me repeating gossip, so you better get it right the first time. But it says, God Himself will dwell with them, and God shall be their God, and you shall be His people. The Creator who spoke the worlds into existence, the universes that we know nothing about into existence, plus the one that we know about, He will dwell with us. That's what heaven will be, is to be with God in the presence of the Almighty. Praise the Lord. We can worship Him here and thank God He gives us a glimpse of His presence, and we can rejoice in the Spirit and be filled with the Holy Spirit. But when we get there, my friend, the glory of God will be so strong and so thick, you'll have to have a glorified body to dwell there, which He promises to give us. Hallelujah. God shall wipe away every tear from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying. Nor shall there be any more pain, for the former things have passed away. He who sat on the throne said, behold, I make all things new. And He said to me, write, for these words are true and faithful. Those are words you can believe, because God said it. He said to me, it is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give of the fountain of the water of life freely to him who thirsts. He who overcomes shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. Praise God, what a wonderful eternity God has prepared for us. But Abraham, as he would walk in the land of Canaan, he would search for a city, but it was eternal. And this call that God put on Abraham's life did not reveal everything immediately. It didn't reveal to him that he would live a nomadic life. He would travel from place to place. He would move often. And you and I know that if you've lived a few years, the last time you moved, you said, I'll never do it again. Amen. The next time I move, I want a storage building with wheels on it. And so he would be called this kind of life, but God had a great purpose. He would not cease to be powerful. He would not cease to have lands or have all kinds of possessions. He had plenty. He was rich in cattle and land. He wasn't going to go hungry. But God saw lost humanity, that there was no eternal hope unless somebody obeyed Him. In the last part of this verse, or this passage here, says, I will make you a great nation. I will bless you. I will make your name great. And you shall be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you. I will curse him who curses you. And in you all families of the earth shall be blessed. God told Abraham, said, I'm going to make of you a great nation. Here he was, an old man already, and his wife was old already. It didn't seem like the time that there was going to be a nation. They would have just done well to have one child. And eventually, when Abraham was 100 and she was 90, Sarah was 90, they had a kid named Isaac. And from him would come 12 sons Jacob would marry later on. 12 sons, 12 tribes of Israel. And from the tribe of Judah would come forth Christ eventually, who would be the Savior of the world. In that sense, in you, all families of the earth will be blessed, because we can go today in any country of the world, preach Christ and the Word of God, and Christ is able to save and to seek and to win people to the Lord. You're able to win people to the Lord and give them a name in heaven and a place in heaven. And in through this, through Abraham's obedience to God, it produced the race of people through whom Jesus would come. And God, and there's hope for all the world. And for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have eternal life, everlasting life. Praise God. And so we know we want to share this blessing. And Abraham said, or God said to Abraham, said, I'll bless you, and I'll bless those that bless you. I'll curse him who curses you. Amen. That's been true all over the Jewish nation since then, since that time. Amen. And so his descendants would be as numerous as the stars of heaven because of Jesus who would save the lost. The final fulfillment will be when all the saved will be in heaven. So let's see the fulfillment of this verse that's prophesied in Scripture. Revelation 5, 9, they sang a new song saying, you are worthy to take the scroll and loose its seals, for you are slain, have redeemed us to God by your blood out of every tribe and tongue and people and nation, and have made us kings and priests to God, and we shall reign on the earth. Every nation, every tribe, every tongue. This scene is in heaven right after the rapture of the church, Revelation 5. And from every tribe and tongue and people, every color, every kind, every race of people, regardless, there will be people saved there. And so God wants us to fulfill his purpose and to live the life of faith. And it's a call of faith. But I want to tell you something. It's worth it when you serve God. It'll be worth it all when we see Jesus. Life's trials will seem so small when we see Christ. One glimpse of his dear face, all troubles will erase. So bravely won the race when we see Christ. Hallelujah. God cares for you this morning. God loves you. And God wants you in his eternity. Amen.